it like this, but it happens. Book of Daniel, please, chapter 6.
Daniel chapter 6 is a very famous chapter in the Word of God. And this past Tuesday, my voice began going down, and by Thursday night, it's pretty bad. But I slept good last night. I'm going to use that as an excuse that I was tired. But thank you for letting me come be with you. This is one of the sweetest churches I've ever been to. And, you know, after a pastor's been with you for a while, you begin to reflect the personality of the pastor. We've got a pastor with a very benevolent, kind spirit. And isn't he a blessing?
Yes.
He is. And we thank God for you, preacher. And all of this choir, I wish I could have some time with this choir. I wish I had a voice so I could sing along with the choir. But it just was beautiful today. And a very good choir arrangement. The congregational singing, appreciate all that. And the best music in all the world is Christian music.
Amen.
Nothing compares to it. The world has nothing to compare to Christian music. And Christians have something to sing about.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 6. I want you to be back tonight. And I've invited some folks to come. And I hope you're inviting folks to come. And of course, you need to be back. You know,
right.
It'd be hypocrisy to be, Lord, bless the revival meeting, and then you not even show up yourself. Don't do that. And so we want all of you back. And all you visitors, please come back. The services are such a blessing here at Holly Hills Baptist. And boy, a bunch of folk got some coloring books after Sunday school before the morning service. In fact, two different people got a box of them. I think I may have one or two boxes left in the car. I know where a lot more boxes are, though. And we just started printing another 15,000 of these colored books this past Thursday. And we printed 112,000 so far. We're trying to reach 1 million. I had the idea in January. God gave it to me. I prayed in March we could get 1 million out. That's a big number. I had a distributor ask me the other day, said, Brother Fox, can you print 50,000 of those? Yes, we can. And they hadn't ordered 50,000 yet, but would you pray with me that they would? They've got the ability to get 50,000 out. I went out to Spencer, Indiana, where these are printed. I went out there, saw their little shop. They got 60 employees, and I walked around with them. And I told them I wanted to end up doing 1 million of these. And I asked if they had ever done 1 million of anything. And they had three times. I said, now I'm not going to print 1 million. This is my first run. I said, I want a quote on 15,000. They said, sure. And they gave me the quote. I said, I'll take it. They said, well, fill out this application. I said, no, I'm not filling out an application. They said, well, if you don't get your credit report with us, then we're not going to print for you. I said, well, I was going to pay in full today. They said, welcome aboard, sir. You know, cash talks. I'd already researched them, and I talked with them, and one of them came to church with me that night and professed Christ as Savior. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win people to Christ. And I want to see every boy and girl touched with the gospel. Best time to get saved is when you're young.
Amen.
And so we're trying to reach the children of Virginia. We've already had it translated into Spanish. We bring 3,500 so far down in Honduras. Being translated in Portuguese right now, and Romanian. And I've been to Romania, and beautiful people there in Romania. Then we got all these music CDs out there. All this stuff is any size donation. I hope you'll get some. You want to use a credit card, you can do that. And I need some helper back there that helped me. If somebody would volunteer, that'd be great. But right now it's time for preaching. Are you ready?
Amen.
Here it is. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Now follow along. Daniel 6. And verse number 3, the Bible says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presence and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I titled the message this morning, Daniel in the Den of Lions. Now, this is a famous passage. Now, let's get the context. Israel, Daniel chapter 6, Israel has gone into captivity. Captivity, yes. They had been conquered. And why did God allow the terrorists to conquer them? Because Israel had been disobedient to God. The Bible, indicates there's four ways that God judges nations. There's four ways in the Word of God. War, pestilence and disease, natural disasters, and baseless leaders. There's four ways. And you say, Brother Fox, do you believe that judgment's ever going to come on America? It's already here. Now, it's mixed with mercy at the moment. We're right on the verge of God's full judgment on our country. We're right on the verge. Think about that last one, baseless leaders. Have you ever seen baser people in office than you have right now? Now, praise God, we got a handful that know the Lord. A handful. There's about 100 members of the United States Congress that say they know the Lord. Of that, there's only about 10 that would go public that would say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's about 10 would do that. And God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10. I'm glad we got about 10. Kathy McMorris Rogers, graduate of Pensacola Christian College, is one of those 10 that would go public that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. She's in Congress. You may not even know her. They don't put her on TV very often, you know. They put some of the most ridiculous people on TV these days, if you notice that. And people are confused about so many things. They say, oh, you think a person can be a toaster? Tell us more. Ridiculous, isn't it? And of Virginia, Congressman Bob Good. He's not perfect, but he'd go public that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen to that. He's a graduate of Bible college. Bill Johnson up there in Ohio, he's coming to my rallies and told everybody how Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the 6th District of Ohio. There's a few of them. Praise God, we got a few. Senator Tim Scott, I've been with him several times already this year. Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina, would go very public that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But most in Congress and other offices are lost, the vast majority. And that's part of God's judgment on our country. And this judgment could get a lot more severe fast. Amen. Judgment's on its way. Yeah. America better repent. And Virginia had better repent right now. Amen. Now, I love all the states. I love all the countries of the world. There's no place I love more than Virginia. And I want my state to turn around. And the only book that can get Virginia to God is this book right here. Amen. The Bible. The Word of God. And so Israel in Daniel chapter 6 is under the punishment of God because of their disobedience. And God allowed the terrorists to come and conquer them. And some young men went into captivity. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and this young man, Daniel. And these young Jewish men, they had great talent. They had enormous skill. And had some leadership about them. And Daniel begins to rise in authority. I mean, in the first few verses here, it says in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. Verse 2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Daniel's the first president. He's right up there at the very top. And there's several things I want you to note during this little sermon about Daniel and the lion's den. Number one, and they're all going to start with T's. As a memory device, it's all T's today. The letter T. So number one is Daniel's testimony. His testimony. In verse 4, look at it. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now help me here. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Oh, wait a minute. That word fault. Verse 4, You mean this president, this man in office, Daniel, can't find any fault with him? How many of you know of any politicians at all anywhere that you can't find any fault with them? We can find fault with the best of them, can't we? Yeah, I can find a lot of fault with me. But they couldn't find anything. They're the enemies of Daniel. Oh, you see, there were envious men, wicked men, were trying to find a way to trap him. And they're looking for a way to get him. And so they're looking in all the closets. Let's find something. Let's find where he's embezzled. Let's find where he lied. Let's find where he committed immorality. Let's find all of his faults. And they couldn't find any. Was Daniel perfect? No. No. There's none perfect except Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Jesus is perfect. But Daniel evidently, are you listening? Daniel evidently did not have a pattern of gross sin in his life. He must have been an exceptional believer. He must have really lived in a way to please God. And when your enemies can't find any fault with you, you've led a pretty clean life. So part of his testimony, we're talking about his testimony. His testimony was, we can't find any fault with the man. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. Well, evidently, Daniel, he put his hand to the plow. He's not looking back. He's serving in his capacity as president. And he's doing an exemplary job, so much that even his enemies could find no fault with him. That's astounding. Part of his testimony is faultless in his work. But beyond that, look at verse 4 again. Right in the middle, they could find none occasion or fault. Help me here. For as much as he was what?
Faithful.
Oh, he's faithful. Not only was he faultless in his work, but he was faithful to his duties. I mean, this man, you could count on him showing up for work. He's going to meet his deadlines. He's going to be a good president. He is faithful in his duties. That's what America needs, some faithful people. What this church needs is some faithful members. That's what jobs, what companies need are faithful employees. That's what a wife needs is a faithful husband. That's what a husband needs is a faithful wife. Faithfulness is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You want to please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God. You cannot please God without faith. You've got to be faithful. God just simply wants me and you to be faithful. Just obeying Him. Doesn't that sound great? Faithful to God. Doesn't that sound great?
Amen.
Oh, yes, it does. It's our aspiration here at Holly Hills. Our hope, our desire, our aspiration, I use the word again, our aspiration is that we be found faithful. And so, he's faultless in his work. He's faithful in his duties. And then, next, I want to say this. Well, we can't keep enough microphones for my voice going, but we're trying. And next part of his testimony, he's faultless in his work. He's faithful in his duties. And so his enemy said, now we've got to find something. We've got to find something. Verse 5. Then said these men, these wicked, envious men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only thing that we're going to be able to trap Daniel in, they said, is we've got to make a law. We've got to find a way to trap this man because this man is fervent for God. One thing we know about old Daniel, he's fervent. I mean, everybody who knew Daniel knew that he had a strong testimony for God. Well, that's what all of us in this room need to have, is it not? A strong testimony that our family knows. Oh, Dad. Oh, Granddad. We know he loves God. One thing we know about Grandma, she loves the Lord. Yeah, because we keep talking about the Lord. We keep trying to live for the Lord. And this man, Daniel, he's faultless in his work. He's faithful in his duties. And he is fervent for God. That's his testimony. T number two, Daniel's test. Oh, yeah. Great big test came. Big test came along here. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. We're going to make a statutory law. A royal statute. And make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Okay, so the trap is set now. Big test, Daniel. We passed a statutory law, Daniel. We know you're a man of prayer. You've been getting on your knees, facing toward Jerusalem all these times a day. And we're just going to tell you, Daniel, you're not going to do that now, because the only one you can pray to and ask intercessory prayers to, and all you want to make some requests, quit asking God. You come over here to our king. You see King Darius over here? He's the only one that you can ask requests of now. You come over here. We made a law. Do you know there have been a lot of laws that have been passed to trap people and to trap Christians? Do you know at one time it was against the law? Do you know at one time it was against the law in Scotland to own a Bible? Do you know there's people right here in Virginia think that'd be a good law? Right now. They say this is a book of hate. Friends, this is not a book of hate. This is a love letter from God to us. Amen. Now God hates sin. And you and I ought to hate sin. But God loves us. That's the greatest news I've ever heard in my whole life, when I learned that God loved me. How'd you know that, Brother Fox? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible is how I found out that God loves me. And so they set a trap for Daniel. No more praying. Well, it's a test. It's a great big test. And in life, tests are going to come. Your faith will get tested at times. I've got in the car out there, I've got a CD of a preacher preaching and teaching. His name is Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson said this. He said, "Do not foolishly imagine that you can live righteously without having enemies." It's true. It's true. If you'll live for the Lord, you're going to have some enemies. I've had my car broken into. 2 weeks ago, I had my tire slashed on the car. There's people that don't like Brother Fox. Isn't that ridiculous? You know, I say a marriage with a man and a woman, and people don't like that, and they hate me for that. I can't change that. I did not design marriage. God designed marriage.
Amen.
Not Holly Hills Baptist Church. Not our good pastor. No, Pastor Blackwell didn't invent marriage. God designed it. It's exclusively between a man and a woman. And there's some people very upset about that. And there'll be people who will test you. They'll test your courage. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." A man came to me, 3 months ago or so, and he's screaming at me, "Separation of church and state, separation of church and state." I said, "Stop." I said, "You're not intimidating me." I said, "In fact, I believe in separation of church and state." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, of course I do. Of course I believe in separation of church and state. State has no business telling the church what we can and cannot preach." Amen.
Amen.
He didn't really know how to respond to that. You know, we've got God's commands that we must follow. We're not trying to be smart alecks. No. We never want to snub our nose at government. But if they ask us to violate the things of God, we got to obey God rather than man. And that's why. We've got to vote, and we've got to have some of our people run for office. Let me ask this question. How many of you have already voted in this election season? Would you raise your hands? In fact, stand up. Let's just have them stand. Have to stand in church if you've already done something good. All these people have already voted. Some of them are still wondering, did I vote? Yeah. Let's see. We got 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and I'm number 13. I voted in the first 20 minutes of the election. It didn't take me that long to know who I wanted to vote for and who I did not want to vote for. Let's give them a hand. You make me see. Give them a hand. That's good. Now tomorrow, a bunch of us need to go out and vote, and need to vote according to the Bible. Amen to that.
Amen.
There's people I can't vote for. They violate my conscience. But you see, here's Daniel, and they passed statutory law. Do you know, in Canada right now, right this second, in Canada, if a preacher has the temerity, the courage, to stand up and preach against the unmentionable lifestyle, it's against the law. Did you know that? And that law went into effect on a Sunday. And on that Sunday, about 300 of my friends in Canada, preacher friends, had the fortitude, they got up and preached on that sin. It's a horrible sin. All sin is horrible. That sin is not a special sin. It's a wicked sin. One of them went to jail, you know. One of them went to jail. He's in jail right now. And they told him. About 10 weeks ago, they said, "Preacher, if you'll promise us you'll never preach on that that lifestyle again, we'll let you out of jail." He said, "I won't make you that promise." Well, that's quite a preacher, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got some real courage there, sir. It's a test now in Daniel chapter 6. It's a test of Daniel's courage. How much courage are you going to have, Daniel? Daniel, you want to be eaten by lions? Well, let's just take a survey this morning. Let's see. How do you want to die, Brother Fox? Stabbed to death, drowned, burned up in a fire, choked, eaten by lions. None of the above. That eaten by lions doesn't sound good, does it? Daniel, I'm in a big trap is set, a big test. A test of his courage, a test of his dedication. We're going to get tested. My job as a 17-year-old boy, I worked a couple little jobs, and at age 17, I got a job at Virginia Overpack. I was a senior in high school there in Smithville, Virginia, and I got a job at Virginia Overpack. I went to summer school, so got out of school early, and each day got out of my senior year early out of school each day, and so I went in the afternoons and began working at Virginia Overpack. Yeah, I'm working at Virginia Overpack. What are you doing? Well, we had building materials and, you know, 4x4s, all these things, and nail guns and saws, and we built things. Virginia Overpack, little company. In fact, there's 17 or 18 employees. And we got this contract with a group in Saudi Arabia. If we could build this many crates for refrigerators to be shipped, you know, Saudi Arabia needs refrigerators. And so they had hired our little company to build these wooden crates to ship these refrigerators securely. So I'm there working. Now, I'm working, basically everybody else working there had been in prison. I'm working with a bunch of ex-felons. Here I am, young boy, and working this afternoon and evening job at Virginia Overpack with a bunch of ex-felons. I got a nickname on day one. On day one, I told all of them that I was a member of Grace Baptist Church of Hampton, Virginia. And I told them how I went to Sunday school. I told them some things. You know why I did? I told them because I was scared. I was scared I'd go over there and lose my testimony. I was scared I'd do some things that a Christian boy shouldn't do. And so I wanted to put some pressure on myself from day one. I've learned always to go first and tell them right off the top, I'm a Christian and I want to live for God. And so they gave me a nickname on day one. Well, we got this job, and man, we're working overtime and working all day Saturday, and we're working hard. And finally, you know, that our company said, "Now, we're going to give you bonuses if we get this done." Man, we began working even harder. And so finally, we got the big contract done. And so the boss man came in that afternoon. It was a Friday afternoon, 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon. I'd been on the job an hour or so. And our boss man came in and said, "We did it. We've done it. We made the quota. It's done." And he had all these little white envelopes. He said, "And I got a bonus check for everybody." "Yeah, yeah." He said, "In fact, we got other things. Hey, bring the stuff out." "Oh, he's going to have a party." "What kind of party?" All the alcoholic beverage started coming out. I was sitting there saying, "Dear God, get me out of this." I'd seen what alcoholic beverage had done to my family. 75 passages in the Word of God. Hey, 75 passages in the Word of God where it warns and condemns alcoholic beverage. You have some of that stuff at your house, get rid of it. Amen.
Amen.
Destroys. Oh, boss man said, "Bring that stuff out." And they began bringing out all the alcoholic beverage. I'm over here, I'm trembling on the inside. I'm a young boy with all these men around me. I thought, "Dear God, how do I get out of this?" And the boss man looked right at me. Said, "Hey, preacher boy." That was my nickname. Call me preacher boy. I told him I was Christian. They called me preacher boy. "Hey, preacher boy." He said, "I didn't forget about you. Hey, get his six-pack. Remember that special six-pack I got? I got it for preacher boy. Go get that special six-pack. Preacher boy, I got a special six-pack for you." How many of you like being made fun of? None of us. thought, oh no, dear God. Well, they brought it out and handed it to me as a 6-pack of Coca-Cola. Not Diet Coke, friends, it's high test. Man, I took my 6-pack of Coca-Cola. I said, thank you, boss man. I said, boss man, I said, it looks like it might be a good time for me to clock out. He said, yeah, preacher boy, you probably ought to clock out about right now. I took my white envelope with my bonus and my 6-pack of Coke and I left. Through the years, I've had 2 of those men call me because I was in trouble. Preacher boy, will you pray with me? Our testimony. And sometimes great big old tests would come along. My little test as a 17-year-old boy, that was nothing. But it did help me. It helped me to grow a little bit. And hopefully God used me a little bit. And he wants to use you as a test. Daniel, your loyalty is being tested. How are you going to do, Daniel? Are you going to stand up to the test? I must move along. Daniel's trouble. Yeah, trouble came. Woo, did it come. Yeah, they found him praying. They pointed him out to the king and said, King, he's got to go in with the lions. You see that in verse 11, 12, and 13? Look at 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, look at it, that Daniel, right there, king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, for the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petition 3 times a day. Put him in there, king. Put him in there. Yeah. Well, king couldn't find a workaround. He couldn't find a way to get old Daniel out of it. I think he liked Daniel. I like Daniel. Daniel's a great guy. But Daniel's in trouble. The third T is trouble. He's in trouble. I'm going to make 3 comments about this trouble. Let me ask this first. If you're listening, would you say amen?
Amen.
3 comments about this trouble. Number 1, it was arranged by the devil. This trouble was not arranged by God. It was arranged by the devil. It was evil men, evil, envious men that were inspired of the devil was trying to harm Daniel. The devil was inspiring this. There is a devil. The Bible says it this way there in Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a lot of folk following the pernicious ways of the devil right now. God's will is for all of them to get saved and get away from the old devil. There is a devil, and he's your enemy, and he's destroying. He's destroying homes. He'd like to destroy Virginia. He'd like to destroy this church right here. This is all this trouble is arranged by the devil. But number 2 statement I want to say, this trouble was allowed by God. God allowed it. Now let me ask you a question. Hey, could God have stopped the trouble? Oh, if you don't understand that God could stop the trouble, you don't understand God at all. Oh, God could have stopped that trouble. Of course he could have. He didn't. He chose not to. God Almighty chose not to stop the trouble. That seems strange, Brother Fox. That doesn't match up with the TV preacher. The TV preacher says everything's going to be great. No, there's trouble that comes to a Christian's life. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 15:20, Jesus himself said, remember the word I said unto you? The servant is not greater than his Lord. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Oh yeah, the most persecuted people in all the world are Christians. Could God stop all that? Yes, he could. But God has allowed this. God in his sovereignty God is sovereign, friends. I rest in his sovereignty. My job is just looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When the waves of trouble come, don't look at the waves at all times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lord Jesus, all this trouble in my life. Lord, these burdens, these problems, these issues. I'm suffering injustice, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I've got affliction.
Yes.
Betrayal, Lord.
Yes.
Cheated, Lord.
Yeah.
All those things happen to Christians. All of them. This trouble was arranged by the devil, is allowed by God. And third comment I want to say, accepted by Daniel. Daniel accepted. What could he do? He couldn't protest enough to stop it. He didn't have a pity party. He doesn't even have a panic attack. Now, I've seen people have panic attacks. They're bad. I've got a preacher friend who got under so much pressure in his church, and his ministry is large. It's powerful. A lot of stress. A lot of stress. And finally, the preacher got where he couldn't sleep, wasn't eating right, and all that. And he began having panic attacks, and his church sequestered him away to another state, let him rest, let him calm down, and he's back to preaching again. Praise the Lord. See, hey, we're weak. God's strong.
Amen.
We're weak. But I don't even see Daniel having a panic attack. That's astounding. The Bible says it this way. Please listen. The Bible says it this way. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, Daniel is looking bad. Well, we get to that last T. Number four, Daniel's triumph. Oh, what a triumph took place. If you read in the Bible, verse 16, 17, 18, he gets put in there. Verse 18, look. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Oh, he couldn't sleep. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, is your God able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. Oh yeah, great big triumph. What happened? Well, God sent an angel down there. Said, angel, you go down there and take care of my man Daniel. You go in there with the lions and you shut their mouths. And that angel went down there and shut the mouths of those those hungry, angry lions. They never harmed Daniel at all that night. What is it? It's a miracle. It's a miracle that we're still talking about here 3,000 years later. We're still talking about what God did through his simple servant, Daniel, and how God delivered Daniel. Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So let's make some application here in these last few minutes. All right? Number one, hey, how's your testimony? Man, old Daniel had some kind of testimony, did he not? Wow, it's astounding. Everybody around him knew that he loved God. Well, everybody around us, our neighbors ought to know we love God. Our co-workers, oh, I wish I had time to testify. Our co-workers ought to all know that we love God. How many of you have lost co-workers? At least somebody lost as a co-worker. Yeah. How many of you have some lost neighbors? Oh, yeah. All of them ought to know that we love the Lord. Now, look, Jesus doesn't operate by coercion. He doesn't make people get saved. You and I can't make people get saved. But, brother, we can point them to the Lord. We can testify for the Lord. We can live for the Lord in front of them. Amen to all those things. Amen. How's our testimony doing? Do we have a radiant testimony? Oh, maybe we need to get it a little not cleaner. Hey, not get our testimony cleaner. Get it clean. Get clean with God today. Our testimony ought to be clean. I mean, all sin. Thoroughly right with God. All sin forsaken. All the doubtful things out of our lives. Amen to those things. And then maybe there's a test in your life. God allows tests to come. They help us. Ultimately, they help us. They either correct us or they perfect us. All of the storms that come in life are for correction and perfection. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Look this way, please. The thing is about old Daniel, had he died down there with those lions, he is right with God. The most important thing in this life is being right with God. How do you get right with God? Through Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus? God's Son. How do you get right with God through Jesus? Jesus came and died on the cross. He bore all the sin of everybody in this room, everybody watching on this live stream. Everybody, everywhere, Jesus died. You mean the communist? Yeah, the communist. I mean the bartender? Yeah, the bartender. Jesus died for all. His love doesn't discriminate anywhere. He died for all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When God says all, he means all. Would you bow your heads? In a little bit, we'll have a little bit of piano being played, maybe. And the song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. How many of you in this room could say, Brother Fox, one thing I know is I know that I've received Christ as my Savior. If I were to die today, I know I'm on my way to heaven. If you know that, would you slip a hand up in testimony and say, Brother Fox, I know I'm saved. I know I've received Christ. God bless you. You put your hands down. Is anybody in this room right now who say, Brother Fox, I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Fox, I'm scared. I'm lost. Brother Fox, would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that would let me pray for them right now? They would say, Brother Fox, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me, Brother Fox? Would you slip a hand up right now? Anybody in this room would say, Brother Fox, I don't know. I'll pray for you. Front to the back, side to side. Anybody? Let me ask all you Christians. God speak to you today? Or he's speaking to me? As I got here for Sunday school, God began speaking to my heart through the Word of God, through His Holy Spirit. If God spoke to you today, would you just lift a hand? Yes, 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 yes. Oh, multitude. Some of you may want to come stand at the front. Some of you men, let's just have men only that would come today. Not enough room for all the men and ladies. As a little music's playing, if you want to come and just stand here and talk to God about something, you can. Yeah, yeah. Who else wants to come? Anybody else want to come and just get up here and pray and talk to God about anything? You may. Right where you are, right where you sit. Room's coming.